Listen with me. Everything I'm experiencing are the effects of how I feel about myself. Remember, the idea that we just presented to you does not affect you alone. You will notice that at times the ideas related to thinking precede those related to perceiving, while at other times the order is reversed. The reason is that order does not matter. Why? Thinking and its results are obviously really simultaneous, very simply because cause and effect are never separate. Today, we are again emphasizing the fact that our minds are joined. Let's all say it together. Our minds are joined. This may not be a wholly welcome idea, since it carries an enormous sense of responsibility and may even be regarded as an invasion of privacy. Yet it's a fact that there aren't any private thoughts. Despite your initial resistance to this idea, you will yet understand that it must be true if salvation of yourself within your own body form is possible at all, and salvation must be possible because it is the will of God.
Life was a song, you came along, I've laid awake the whole night through. If I but dared to think you cared, this is what I'd say to you. You were meant for me, and I was I'm content, the angel.
You were meant for me. I was meant for you. Angels fashioned us, and when they were through, you were all the good things, walled up in one. Maybe.
But I'm content. The angels must have sent you.
For each other, the idea that in this sequence of time that we acknowledge that it's all in our mind. Now, in order to obtain that, because I intend to do it with the certainty that involved in my self-responsibility may not be the totality that I am responsible for everything I'm seeing. But there's no sense, if I'm going to be a mind trainer, that I don't acknowledge that somewhere the entirety of me can be what I am in my relationship with the entirety, with the universe. Is this true? So that, now, there you are. This is what we call an initial experiment. In other words, I'm going to experiment with the process of the possibility, is what you term an advanced teacher. I have no idea what that is. But I am aware that there's no possibility until I decide I would rather see something differently in my mind that I will not see what's in my mind. Now, obviously I'm struggling with the idea that what I'm seeing out there is other than what I am. Is this so? And it's not, and there's no mystery about it. You've been doing it for years. You depend on these other videos that say it's always over in my mind anyway, so that the reflection that I'm getting out there is one that I had previously in my association with myself. Now, here's the experiment. I'm going to have you look at the idea of the entirety that I'm responsible for this. You're not going to like it. Now, you may have rejected it already. I'm not interested because I'm trying to get you past the idea of my body. When I came in here today and said to you, you were meant for me, I was speaking of how I am in my mind, in my association with the love that I'm feeling for you. And it is absolutely nothing, as we told you in the last hour, to do with my physical body. In other words, you and I can agree to love each other within our own minds, all right, and meet out in the universe with no reference to the body at all. Are you all right with that? Huh? Am I all right?
Yes.
Here. Now, I'm going to read you just the beginning of the responsibility that you have in this. There's no sense in avoiding it because you're already avoiding it. But the challenge that you have in the totality of the responsibility are going to be, listen to me, the only manner possible that you can escape the idea of reflection of light that constitute what appears to be this reality, all right, are to recognize that the group of ideas I have in my mind that are giving me reflection can gather in organizations, but require the fundamental admission of my own responsibility. Now, I'm going to do a little ideas that I can negotiate with you. Now, to a certain point, I can negotiate with you. Do you love me?
Yes.
Do you want to leave here with me?
Yes.
Are you going to admit you're not a body?
Yes.
Are you far enough along in your mind training where you're obviously examining the idea that the world you see out there is not real? Well, perhaps not. Because every time you try to look at it as not real, it takes on the previous aspect that you had about yourself. And as we said on those first 2 hours, you're trapped in the idea that you can't escape because you keep getting back a reflection of yourself. Now, you listen with me. And listen to the song that's going on in the background. Okay? These are important ideas of what the secret to salvation is. The secret, there's a salvation. There's a secret to salvation that the world does not want to fully admit, because if it does, it's going to have to accept responsibility for everything that's going on out there within its own vision. Will you listen to me? Will you listen with me? There. That's good. Yeah. Now, just for a moment in our mind, you had a thought of communication that transcended the idea of my body formulation. Yes or no? If you're going to teach with me, Homo sapien, you know perfectly well that contained within you is the idea of a visionary association that transcends the necessity for you to use your body. Now, this is going to be directly concerning the responsibility you have for thinking, because it's really not connected to what you intend to say to me about it. It's going to be, I'm going to make you look at it. It will be connected to what you want to impress on somebody else. Shall I read a little bit about my Savior Jesus? Guys, you like the idea that the salvation of the world depends on Jesus. You also like the idea that the salvation of the world depends on you. Now, you may not yield the idea that the salvation of the world depends entirely on you, which is obviously what Jesus teaches. But what he's going to impress you with is that everything that he says is not actually concerned about what you and I are agreeing on objectively. Are you ready? Jesus said, only what you're thinking in your mind. And I'm going to read it to you. In other words, when he really begins to teach from his own revelation why you're rejecting him, he's offering you a thought that may not at that moment be contained within your own mind. Okay? First, let's listen just a little bit to the secret to salvation. Okay? Here. A fellow came to see me, okay, and we gathered around, and he attempted with Jesus to read the idea that the guy that's out there, this is Jesus, this is Matthew 5, the guy that's out there is actually what I think about myself. It will make absolutely no difference what I say about him. What I think about myself is what counts. Listen. The secret of salvation, for you to see who you really are and escape out into the universe, is only that you're doing this unto yourself. I'll say it again. Let's say it together. You're doing this to yourself. Now, no matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. Whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still is this the truth. Whatever seems to be the cause of any pain or suffering you feel, this is still true. For you would not react at all to figures in a dream. You knew that you were dreaming. Let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may, they could have no effect on you unless you fail to recognize that it is her own dream sequence of hallucination. Listen with me. This single lesson that you're doing it for yourself will set you free from suffering, whatever form that it takes. The Holy Spirit will repeat this one inclusive lesson of deliverance until it has been learned, regardless of the form of suffering that brings you pain. Whatever hurt you bring to Him, He's going to make a real simple answer that will keep making it simpler and simpler for you. And it's very simply, you're causing it. This one answer takes away the cause, obviously, of every form of sorrow and of pain. And the form affects His answer not at all. For He would teach you but the single cause of all of them, no matter what their form. And you will understand that the miracle of your conversion of mind reflects the simple statement. Here we go. I've done this. I've done this thing to myself, and it's this that I intend to undo. I'm going to talk to you just for a minute, along with the manner in which you began to accomplish the utter simplicity of what I'm attempting to teach you about the thoughts of your mind. Now, the reason obvious I'm going to use Jesus, because I am doing this to myself, and as He reminds me in the faculty of the reflection of light, it is this that I exactly must undo. But see, the problem I have is, by the time I get the thought back in my mind, say to me, it's done.
It's done.
Oh, it's done. It's done. Now, what am I going to do? Suddenly surrounding me, you want to hear this with me, are all the ideas that I ever have been placed out there in this world that I have now subtracted from myself in the idea, and now I can select what I want in regard to the cause and effect that I'm feeling. Those of you who, the time will come when you'll teach this, because the time will have to come when you teach it. There's nothing complicated about the idea that you know, and I'm talking to you now, you know there's a power in your mind. What I would always offer you is more power to make a decision, if I can get you to admit, at least fundamentally, that the idea of doing is not out there. Now you say to me, well, how am I going to do that? Those are the next two lessons that you get in the idea that I want to see. And I want to see differently. I want to see, and I want to see differently. I'm just going to read two sentences, okay? Will you listen to me? I want to see differently, and I want to see. Say to me, I'm determined to see. Yes. Now, this approach has been intentionally and carefully planned by Jesus because He wants you to hear that we have not lost sight of the crucial importance of the reversal of your thinking. The salvation of the world depends on it. Yet you will not see it if you regard yourself as coerced and if you give in to resentment and opposition. That's pretty simple, because I'm determined to see differently are the practice by which each time I view you, all right, I have to draw attention to the fact that I'm using my mind. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm talking to you as an advanced teacher. A terrible, devastating experience as a human condition that allows me to escape out. So at the very minimum, I can compare myself with things outside of this frame of my mind by the simple admission that the problem, as I have apparently attempted to resolve it, cannot be what I am. That's the sentence, I'm determined to see differently. Listen. I'm determined to see things differently. Now, here we practice by repeating the idea for yourself that you want to see differently. Close your eyes. Search your mind carefully for situations that are past, that are present, or that are anticipated, that arouse anger in you, that you don't like. Now, the anger may take the form of any reaction, ranging from mild irritation to rage. The degree of the emotion you experience does not matter. You will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance is nothing but a veil drawn over intense fury, very simply because you're determined to establish the idea of a reality in relationship with you and somebody else, right, outside of you, that is still contained within the prospect that you're not causing the problem. And even when you admit that you're causing the problem, as Jesus reminds you, you may try to subtract yourself because it's very obviously you're going to have to deal with the undoing of your mind. You listen with me? Yeah, listen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up into the mountains. And as he sat down, his disciples drew near to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be well satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for to them shall be mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in their hearts, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they reproach you and persecute you and speak against you every kind of bad word falsely for my sake. Then be glad and rejoice, for your reward is increased in heaven. For in this very manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Look with me, you are indeed the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its savor, it would be worth nothing. You are indeed the light of the world. The city that is built upon a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lamp holder, so it gives light to all in the house. Listen, let your light thus shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Listen, do not expect that I have come to weaken the law or the prophets. No, no, I have not come to weaken, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not even one yoth or dash shall pass away from the law until all has been fulfilled. Whoever therefore tries to weaken even one of the smallest commandments, he shall be regarded as small in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who observes and teaches them, he shall be regarded as great. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, you have heard, it has been said, you shall not kill. Listen to what I'm saying. And whoever kills is guilty before the court. Now I'm going to teach. But I say to you that whoever becomes angry with his brother for no reason is guilty before the court. And whoever should say to his brother, "Racha," which means "I spit on you," it's an old Aramaic expression, is guilty before the congregation. And whoever says to his brother, "You're a nursemaid," is condemned to eternal fire. I want to get to one word here. If it should happen, therefore, that while you are presenting your offering upon the altar, and right there, you remember that your brother has a grievance against you, leave your offering there upon the altar and go out and make peace with your brother and then come back and present your offering. Try to get reconciled with your accuser promptly while you're going on the road with him, for your accuser might surrender you to the judge, and the judge will commit you to the jailer, and you will be cast into prison. Here, truly, I say to you that you will never come out thence until you have furnished the last evidence of yourself in the reflection of light by which you're condemning yourself. I'm going to leave you with the idea, all right, that all the thoughts are in my mind and that everything that's happening out there is actually, at the minimum, over and gone, so I don't have to depend on it under any circumstances. And the power of my mind, through God, to love you will be very evident to me, very simply because I'm responsible for what I'm seeing out there. There you are. Now, the gathering that just came around me to sing this song with me are going to be evidences of new ideas they have in their mind, where just for a moment, first they accept responsibility for what they're seeing, and they discover how much they love the idea of a guy who just a moment ago they didn't want anything to do with. I'll be right back.
The fire's glow. If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime, knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you so.
I'm setting up a new frame for you.
Or fall. No, never could I leave.
see the reflection of us. Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace except there. Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in His place. There is no other answer that you can substitute and find the happiness His answer brings. Seek not outside yourself, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be. What if it's not there? What did we just read about with Jesus? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides, and seek no longer elsewhere. You will fail, but it is given you to know the truth and not to seek out there in the universe. And I'll come back and talk to you about it in a minute. No one who comes here but must still have hope, some lingering illusion or some dream that there is something outside of himself that will bring happiness and peace to him. If everything is in him, this cannot be so. And therefore, by his coming, he denies the truth about himself and seeks for something more than what everything is, as if a part of it were separated off and found where all the rest is not. Now, this is a purpose he bestows upon the body that he occupies, that it seek for what he lacks and give him what would make himself complete. And thus he wanders aimlessly about in search of something that he cannot find, believing that it will make him happy. The lingering illusion will impel him to seek out 1,000 idols and to seek beyond them for 1,000 more, and each will fail him, all except one, and this is what we just read you. For he will die and does not understand the idol that he seeks is but his own death. Its form appears to be outside himself, yet does he seek to kill God's Son within and prove that he is victor over him. This is the purpose every idol has, for this the role that is assigned to it, and this the role that cannot be fulfilled. Look at, are you determined not to believe that what I'm telling you is true? What do you call yourself a Christian? Well, I consider myself to be a Christian, yet it's almost impossible in the lesson that we're going to do now that I'm not determined to get even. Say, I'm going to get even.
I'm going to get even
because I've been mistreated. Now, I can even admit with Jesus, for example, all right, that in my mind, I know that if I want to practice this, Jesus has assured me that I'm perfect in heaven or in another location. What he says with me is what I seek is a form of vengeance. Now, I know that you're going to, you've already turned me off. I'm obviously teaching Sermon on the Mount. I'm obviously teaching you're going to have to forgive the guy that just did an act to you that's literally not forgivable. You see that? Now, the manner in which he offers it to you will be very simply the notation that, first of all, if you watched it, you admit that the problem is where? In your mind. Say, it's in my mind. No, there's no way that when I came on, now you're threatening me. I'm teaching Christianity. I think we'll go on the big board and let me see you deny that I'm teaching Matthew 5.
Now, you're going to say, well, nobody can do that. Of course nobody can do it. What you have to realize with me, are you ready? Say to me, it's not a doing.
It's not a doing.
So, you got it? So the thought that you're having about it in the reflection of light that you're getting at that moment does not appear to be me. Is that so? Now, here, let's try it together in Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gathers them together, all right, and he offers them the gift. The guy turns to the guy next to him, and he says, I forgive you. Now, what does that include? Everything. Everything. He only finally is going to forgive who? Himself. Say it.
Himself.
Himself. The whole teaching of Jesus, that if I will be forgiven by the act of what I appear to have done, all right, this is pure Christianity now, that I can enter the kingdom of heaven. The problem is not that. The problem is that with Jesus and Christianity, say to me, we teach it as thought.
We teach it as thought.
Oh, sure. In other words, if we saw a lesson that said the reflection of light that I'm getting out there is actually in my mind, first of all, it's not out there, except that I have put it out there by an idea I have about the prophecy who's out there, who is helping me direct my attention to what? Are you ready? Say to me, nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Jesus in the resurrection, okay, when you crucify and kill him, suddenly is simply not there. Now, the reason he's not there is that he's resurrected. I don't care if you got bodies lying around, who cares? My whole teaching to you, if you decide you want to hear it, and you will decide to hear it, are that the power of your mind to decide the outcome that you want is actually not connected to your body at all. That's why that first 2 hours that Jesus entered into you, when he set up a platform where you could come and relax a momentary defense of what appeared to be out there. Now, what happens is the moment you relax your defense of the attack that you feel is inevitable within your mind, it disappears. Now, the notation that it's already over might be important to you. I wouldn't want to do it without it. But you can only do it at this time and now. Should we try it together? This is pure. This is what, if I'm going to be a Christian, and obviously I'm a Christian, first of all, I'm going to have to forgive the idea of all the stuff that's going on as a Christian or as anybody, very simply because, as Jesus reminds me, it's in my mind. Now, that doesn't mean whether it's good or evil. It has nothing to do with good or evil, because it has to do with how I feel about my association with myself. Now, there's a big story yesterday about Jesus is the Savior of the world. What's wrong with that? All you guys out there who are so-called non-Christian really object to the fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world. What's wrong with him being the Savior of the world? Everything that he teaches asks you that the vengeance that you seek against the other guy will disallow you to see it. Now you say to me, well, nobody can do that. The Savior of the world can, because he sees the world, as I just told you, in a different setting of time than you see it. I want to see, and I want to see differently. I'm going to read you a couple of sentences. This is directly from the New Testament, but it has to do with the vengeance, because down deep inside of you, you're bearing that. Come on, are you going to try to fool me? You're carrying it with you. The way you finally get rid of it is to admit, well, it's over anyway, so I'm not going to carry it around with me anymore. It's all about vengeance. I'm going to try one more time. The terrible things that happened to you about an hour ago in the group here, you are still carrying deep within you, even though you have learned the idea that forgiveness is necessary. Now, what's hard for you to understand, that vengeance is the idea, while you may not be able to get even with him, somebody is going to get even with him, even if it's only himself. Now, that's what the old man really runs into a problem with you. Now, the idea that vengeance, the idea that I have caused this within the space-time that I'm located is an inevitable consequence of waking up and finding myself here. That is a form of vengeance, okay? From the time man evolves the idea of objective association, say to me, he tries to get even. Oh, sure, just no question about it. Now, he may call that love, and he may bury deep within him the vengeance that the entitlement that he is, he's not entitled to, but he's going to claim it anyway, very simply, because he has learned enough about the practice that he's causing it within his own mind, yes or no? So that the reflection of conflict that he's getting in the idea of the duplicity or separation of his mind, as Jesus reminds you, will allow you to forgive your enemy. Now, the necessity you must forgive your enemy stems solely from what? Your enemy is who? You. No, you're missing. This is my entire teaching in Christianity, and very obviously you don't hear it. Shall I tell you why? When you hear it, you resurrect from the idea that you were a body location out there. Let's look just a little bit about the revenge that you intend to get for what you and I have decided to do. Listen. What I see in my own mind or in my physical body is a form of vengeance. Today's idea accurately describes the way anyone who holds attack thoughts in his mind must see the world. Having projected his anger onto the world, he sees vengeance about to strike at him. His own attack is thus perceived as self-defense. Come on, you can hear me. This becomes an increasingly vicious circle until he's willing to change how he sees. Otherwise, thoughts of attack and counterattack will preoccupy him and people his entire world. What peace of mind is possible to him then? It is from this savage fantasy that you want to escape. Is it not joyous news to hear that it's not real? Is it not a happy discovery to find that you can escape? You make what you would destroy, everything that you hate and would attack and kill, and all that you fear does not exist and is only in your mind. Now, it is true that you see only the perishable. I see nothing that will last. What I see is not real, and what I see is a form of vengeance. So the question arises concerning you, is this really the world I want to see? Now, I'm going to teach for just a few minutes because I want to go to the idea that the formulation of my dependence, okay, on being a body form will have to be a reflection of what I think I am. I promised Jesus, just for you individually, incidentally, that I would do a healing episode in the power of my mind to heal a reflection of you the moment that you decide with my mind, and you may use Jesus or anybody you want, that it's always going to be over anyway. But you keep setting up defenses where someone is going to attack you. And when you set up somebody that's going to attack you, you must defend yourself because you must have a remedy for the sickness from which you suffer. Now, if there's no remedy for the sickness from which you suffer, you die. Now, well, I'm going to die anyway. But in the meantime, I'm going to defend myself from the attack that's inevitable in my mind because of the effects of the picture of myself. Now, a friend of mine just came in here. I'm going to teach for a second, can I? And he walked in. This is the way I'm feeling about you right now. He teaches an advanced idea of never defending himself what appears to be out there. That's a practice that he must make in his mind, because otherwise, he'll immediately see it's out there. Then he'll have to forgive what appears to be out there. That's always a justification for the sickness that you believe is in someone other than yourself. I'm going to try it with you. The healing process of the power of your mind to be whole and perfect. I'm trying to demonstrate it to you now. You say, well, you look pretty good for an 86-year-old guy. Well, not too bad. Now, here's why. Should I teach why? If I decide in my mind, my power of my mind, to make a decision to alter the formulation of where I appear to be, this is my whole teaching, I can do it. Now, when I do it, you don't recognize it because you insist on the idea that you can still suffer pain and loneliness and death. Now, most of you are willing to admit that you're causing it within your own mind, but the idea of the entirety that you're the cause of it in the healing process are what we're experiencing now. Yeah, there it was. There it was. Look at, standing right next to you is probably the most perfect idea that I have ever seen. And there's a little song involved that you'll never walk alone. The idea that you're going to do it, all right? Okay. I really appreciate all you've decided to do with this, because the figure of myself is actually walking right alongside of me. He may not look at it. I don't have to try to recognize him. Here.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm,
thank you,
is a golden sky and the sweet silver song.
Yeah. Is that healing? Sure.
Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown.
I got a new idea. I can see differently than I saw. I'm seeing differently. No, there's no way I can tell how it's different. The reason is, I'm different. I promised that in a situation that is about to arise with you, okay, very simply, all right, because the factor of the reflection of light is changing all the time. If that's not true, how are you going to get out in the universe? You're always restricted by, let's use light, even at the speed of light, by the time the reflection comes back to you, the reflection you're getting is obviously different than what it was a moment ago. So you let it be different instead of what? Here's a crucial element in the teaching. The power of you, regardless of what you think, I could love you more than anything, I could hate you, I could want absolutely nothing to do with you, makes absolutely no difference. Shall we teach why? You're not a body. The reflection of light that you've been getting, and this is from Jesus, has nothing to do with your reality at all. That's why the idea of attack and defense simply are reflections of my determination that somewhere I'm entitled to a grievance in the location that I'm in. Are you ready? You are. But all you're going to end up doing is collapsing on yourself by somebody out there who appears to be momentarily in a different frame than you're in. This is my entire teaching. This is the entire teaching of Jesus, incidentally. Because it's the notation that's not in your physical body, but in the thoughts that you're having. Let's try it just for a moment to get through just a little bit about if I defend myself, I am being attacked, with the admission that the only one that's really attacking me is myself. Listen. I can escape the world by giving up my attack thoughts. Now, the idea for today contains the only way out of fear that will ever succeed, because nothing else will work. Everything else is meaningless, but this way cannot fail, because every thought you have makes up some segment of the world that you see. It is with your thoughts, then, that we must work if your perception of the world is to be changed. You listen with me. If the cause of the world you see is attack thoughts, you must learn that it is these thoughts which you don't want. Now, there's no point in lamenting the world. There's no point in trying to change the world. It is incapable of change because it is merely an effect, and the effect is of your own mind. But there is indeed a point in changing your thoughts about the world. Here, you're changing the cause, and the effect will change automatically. Look with me one more. The world you see is a vengeful world, and everything in it is a symbol of vengeance. Each of your perceptions of external reality is a pictorial representation of your own attack thoughts. One can well ask if that can be called seeing at all. Is not fantasy a better word for such a process, and hallucination a more appropriate term for the result? Here you are. You see the world that you have made, but you do not see yourself as the image maker. And you cannot be saved from the world, but you can escape from its cause. And that, my friend, is what salvation offers you in the revision of yourself. Notation of the manner in which most of you are leaving and journeying out into the universe. You'll be getting an invitation. Come on. You know that you're not this little body with one little sun up there in the sky shining on you. You know there's a whole universe out there. And as the power of your mind increases in frequency, you may still suffer some conflict. That is, you might want to get even. But finally, the idea that you want to journey beyond the stars, out into the universe, will be yours to make. That's how I really feel about you. What a relief in the vision I have of myself, in the mission. Say to me, mission. I have a mission where I can change my mind right now and disappear from here. Now, the idea that you were successful at would have to be true very simply because it's already over. As we relive it, and this is why you got this, you come to this point each time you say, I've had enough, I don't want the conflict anymore. Now, at that moment, you don't even have to know you're causing the conflict. You simply have to decide you would rather join those that are out in the universe, that can see the beautifulness of you without the necessity of retaining a dim light, but let the power of that light shine on you in the certainty of the love that we're feeling for each other. It's called the power of love, and there's no animosity in it at all. There's no need that you do anything but love yourself. Now, in loving yourself, the other guy will actually love you. He could not. I love you. But I realized that the man, let's use Jesus, I realized that if I'll depend on him, I can leave here just as well as anything. I'll see you in a moment in the bright realization that what we're experiencing is a miracle of the change of our mind about what we thought we were, which is long. Guests that came in here. Some of you, you'll get it when you get it. It's not conceptual. It's a shift in how you feel about yourself. That's the power of your mind, to change your mind about what you thought you were.